In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Some thoughts on November. Autumn is marching on. Even the scarecrows wear dead leaves. Dark November brings the fog. Would not do it to a dog. Monochrome evening, a reflection on blurred lines, November endings. November is, for me, a stopgap month, filling the space between the gold of All Saints and the purple of Advent. The days become shorter, the rain never stops. The glare from the street and headlights makes a pedestrian's life increasingly hazardous. It's the month of permanently damp overcoats and optician's appointments, a time which my father called the back end of the year. It marks the end of the liturgical year. Next week is Christ the King, the Sunday next before Advent, and on Advent Sunday, we begin the liturgical cycle again. Endings are emphasized in November's apocalyptical readings, of which today's are an example. The Zephaniah text we heard refers to the day of the Lord, Dies Irae, when the Lord will come in judgment on his people. That day of wrath, ruin, devastation, when the Lord will hold humankind to account. Today's psalm, Psalm 90, which perhaps fortunately we don't use at this service, adds to the gloom. The days of our life are 70 year, or perhaps 80 if we are strong. Even then their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Human life is transitory, and the psalmist is making sure we know it. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, is initially hardly more cheerful. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Sudden destruction will come, and there will be no escape. But then his tone changes, and the Christian message shines through. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hold that thought, because the gospel reading is the parable of the talents. As a child at primary school, I found this parable strange. Talents in the 1950s, in the days of Butlin's holiday camps and talent competitions, and still today, meant ability in the arts or sports, which mine most definitely are not. A photographic memory, being good at sums, being able to work quietly and efficiently on my own, these were not talents. Was I really of no account because I was hopeless at arts and crafts, at music, at organized games? It wasn't until I was much older that I realized what this parable is really about. Stewardship and our covenantal relationship with God, who gives us our time and place of being and our innate abilities, our talents. And the question changed from, am I of no account because my abilities don't conform to the accepted definition of talents, to, can I identify my abilities, and am I using them to their fullest extent all the time? One day, as the parable tells us, we shall have to account to the householder for our use of these abilities, our talents. Have we always conscientiously grown them, always used them in the service of others? In my case, the answer is a resounding no. But the joy of the Christian message is that, as Paul says, God has destined us for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation, we believe, was achieved through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, God incarnate. Jesus of Nazareth lived and died at a particular time in history, a time when in one life, created and uncreated time were brought together in a human. For me, this means that the salvific act of Christ happened in created time, but is still happening continuously in uncreated time. Salvation does not have an expiry date. So the accounting isn't like taking one's finals again. It is a series of opportunities to identify what we can do well, what our talents are, and to try to do the best we can to grow them. It is now 2 weeks until Advent Sunday, when the church's new year begins. Advent is, perhaps surprisingly, my favourite season, until the third Sunday, when the scandal of the incarnation of the Godhead becoming veiled in flesh is obscured by what Bishop Rowan calls isn't the baby sweet. Advent is, for me, the season when the interface between time and eternity is at its thinnest. It is the time of preparation when we wait in anticipation of Christ's birth, when the Word again becomes flesh, beginning the cycle in which we, in created time, follow the life of the incarnate Word through the liturgical year, while in uncreated time, the eternal Word retells the story of our salvation. How many of us make New Year resolutions? How many of us keep those resolutions? Every year since I was old enough, I have resolved to get up in the morning as soon as the alarm goes off. Every year, this lasts for about a week. Every year, I resolve not to procrastinate, not to indulge in displacement activity. I could write a book on displacement activity, and the knitting is progressing very well indeed. Every year, I am determined to do better. Advent Sunday is the church's New Year's Day. Advent is a time to look back over the past year, a time to assess what we have done, and, equally importantly, what we have left undone. A time to take stock, a time to take advantage of the thinness between this world and the next, to use Advent as a time of preparation for a new beginning, as we prepare to celebrate the new thing that happened when Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea. You can see where this is going, can't you? Advent this year could be a time when we all stop in our busy lives and put some time aside to stocktake our talents, our God-given abilities. Our God-given abilities, whether or not they fall into the conventional definition of talent, and mine certainly do not. A time when we move nearer to identifying what they are, however unlikely. When we try to accept that they are gifts from God, and like it or not, that's what we're stuck with. When we stop and take a long, hard look at what we do with these gifts, how we steward and grow them and use them for the common good, that wonderful prayer book definition of our life together in Christ. In the coming year, as I finish my course at St. Melitus and have thoughts and discussions about how I may be used most efficiently for the common good of this parish, I shall have to stop and look at what I can and can't do, and listen to the voice of God, which may speak through someone here today. In the coming weeks, as we formally consider our stewardship, might I ask you to join me as, looking back over 2017 and forward into 2018, we make our assessments of where we are now and where we would like to be this time next year. Will you join me in an act of stewardship as I resolve not to mind what I can't do well, to accept what I am good at, and to try to work out how the latter can be used for the common good? And when Epiphany comes, in 7 weeks' time, with the Magi, we can lay the results of our deliberations as New Year resolutions before the child in Bethlehem. Amen.